Proponents of this research claim it may result in vaccines or maybe even stop a pandemic. Dr. Redfield, has gain of function created any life-saving vaccines or therapeutics to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Has gain of function stopped a pandemic, in your opinion?
No, on the contrary, I think it probably caused the greatest pandemic our world has seen.
Do you find any tangible benefits to gain of function research at this time?
I personally don't, but I do want to stress, I think the men and women that support it are people of good faith because they truly believe it's going to lead to a potential benefit. I disagree with that assessment.
Absolute, pure proof, smoking gun from the head of the CDC. Couldn't have more credibility as an insider of how Fauci created the false reports and lied about the origin of the virus and knew he was lying and lied to Congress. I mean, that alone is like bombshell, flamethrower, nuclear hydrogen bomb going off big. I mean, that is just boom. We got to defend our children. We got to stand up and take our licks. We got to be men. Got to be women. Got to be strong. And you've got my pledge to never back down and never give up. But if you take a look at the news and where the world is, they're getting us ready for full World War III right now. It's already begun. So get right with God. All right, I got so much news here and so much to cover. I mean, I could spend the whole show on this one article we'll cover next segment. The Washington Post has a big article out selling everybody on how we need more lockdowns for future viruses and how terrible libertarians and conservatives are for fighting against it and successfully proving it's all a fraud. They want to permanently lock your ass down and then shoot you up with a bunch of poison. People go, well, it's scary to fight these people and they'll come after you. They're already giving children the deadly shots. I went and hung out with Joe Rogan for 4 or 5 hours last night with the opening of his new club, the Mothership in downtown Austin. And I don't usually talk about private conversations, but I'm proud of Joe. And I was talking to him, and I said, man, you've really gotten hardcore. You're hitting on all cylinders. And he said, yeah. I knew a lot of this stuff was bad, but I thought there were a lot better people in the system. I can't believe how bad it is. We got to defeat this thing. And I said, yeah. And why is that, Joe? And he looked at me and he said, for me, it's coming after the kids with these shots when they know they don't work and they hurt them. They know damn well what they're doing. He goes, we got to stop them. We hugged each other and we said, we're winning and we're not going to stop. That's why Joe's so hardcore now, because they pushed him. And he's one of the most influential people in the world. So whatever happens to me, I know others are going to go forward. They're closing in on us. I have a good sixth sense, a good spirit, know things, and I feel good. And I'm sure I'll be in the fight in a month, 6 months, a year, but you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, they could kill me any day. I don't say that for a dramatic effect. It's a very serious situation. But I don't have any fear of what happens to me. I am concerned about everybody. I really care about my children. I really care about your children and the future they're going to have together. And I love you. And we've got to do the right thing here. We can't flinch. We can't back down. We've just got to be as hardcore as possible because we got a bunch of crazy people in charge that have convinced themselves they can get away with anything. And if you study the globalists, not just their minions, but the people running things, they are super old and they're on a bunch of drugs. I mean, David Rockefeller had like 8 heart transplants, died at like 100, I think, 99. It's just crazy. And you can't hear it right now, but it's apropos of this. They're doing massive construction across the street. And a bunch of sirens and heavy machinery noises were just going on the last few minutes. And it sounds like chimes in a big church or a giant bell ringing. I wish somebody go outside and record this. Somebody go out with your phone with a recording app, because I want people to actually hear this beautiful sound. But it's also terrifying and ominous. It's like, I don't know what the hell they're doing next door. Like 50 giant trucks, cranes, all this stuff. It stopped now. Maybe it'll start back up in a minute, but it sounds like wind chimes, but like imagine 1,000-foot tall wind chimes, like meow, meow. It just adds to all the weirdness of creation. So I'm here talking about the ultimate point of life is standing up for what's right, and this incredible world we're in, and all the mystery and majesty and wonderment. And then we've got a bunch of psychotics running around trying to blow the planet up, doing it again. But it's really our fault for letting this happen. It's my fault. It's your fault. And because we're not evil. We don't want to be evil. We're not perfect, but we don't want to be evil. And we're trying to be good. And we're trying to build a better world. And we let the bad guys get to this point. We let ourselves get in this much danger. So we're the only ones that have to blame here. I don't even blame our enemies anymore. I realize how fallen and sad and just pathetic they are. All right, let me get my mind wrapped around this. I get philosophical when things are so big. And we're going to go to break in like 4 minutes. I'm going to come back and I'm going to get into the censorship surveillance. It's really surveillance than censorship. Bombshells in Congress with the weaponization of government and big tech hearings that are happening. And then I'm going to get into the Redfield testimony. We only played part of it yesterday. It is absolute pure proof, smoking gun from the head of the CDC. Couldn't have more credibility as an insider of how Fauci created the false reports and lied about the origin of the virus and knew he was lying and lied to Congress. I mean, that alone is like bombshell, flamethrower, nuclear hydrogen bomb going off big. I mean, that is just boom. And then we've got all this other news. And, you know, I said I'd get to it, but I just did, didn't I? The Washington Post, I'll show you the article. We need to really have lockdowns in the future. We need to have more of them. It's just the new way of life. I mean, training you to stay in your house. Come on, folks. Why would anybody work for a system that wants to put poison in your body and lock you down and make you go around and have a digital ID to leave your house? I mean, what fool? I mean, if you were a psychopath, if you were American Psycho, what's his fictional name, Christian Bale in the movie? Patrick Bateman would at least have enough self-preservation that he'd go, man, I really don't want this new world order. I don't want to take your poison shot, and I don't want to be a slave. I mean, Patrick Bateman wouldn't support this. Why do you people serve the new world order? What is your problem? It for 99.99999999999999999. Only a few hundred globalists that run things. Out of 7.5 billion, or 8 billion now. Couple hundred people own and run everything through fraud. And of course, they're lying to themselves, thinking they're going to win too. Why the hell would you create an atmosphere like this, a climate like this? Because they are evil, folks. They like it. They're going to get destroyed too. They'll never survive. You think the people around them, no matter how many robots they've got and the rest of it, once there's a big nuclear war and a billion die in the first part of it, and then 4 billion they estimate will die in a limited nuclear war of starvation and breakdown of society, and then the reactors all melt down, and you've got 400 plus Chernobyls going on. Do you really think in your bunker, 2 miles under a mountain, that the people around you aren't going to kill you? You have just gone into your own tomb and guaranteed you'll be killed. I mean, look, globalists, you're not that stupid, are you? You really want to live in a bunker? You really think that you're not going to just kill each other in there? Because you love killing people. You're not going to stop. I'd estimate if 5,000 people are in one of these big bunker cities, that 5 years after they're down there, there'll be like 200 of them left. You people are freaking nuts. How the hell did you get us into this situation? And the answer is, you did it. I did it. We let these maniacs get in control. God help us. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You need to get coordinated with not only your food, but also your health supplements, because it's going to be a matter of life and death. So support InfoWars Store. Listen, you need to put it as a priority, because you don't know, I don't know. Alex and I are telling you how late it is before midnight strikes. And again, magnesium is critical for your muscles and everything. Krill oil. What I'm watching right before my eyes is a composite overview of nutritional supplements that will keep you alive. And I would urge everyone, maybe you don't take vitamins, maybe you don't take nutritional supplements, but the day will come. Vitamin C and zinc, absolutely imperative for the cold. DNA Force, absolutely imperative. Mineral Fusion, absolutely. As you're drinking filtered water, a lot of it will become demineralized. You have to have these products.
What about viruses? What about man-made viruses? What about new chimeric viruses that are splices of different families of viruses like COVID-19? And then the shot that's far worse, that is their response and answer to that. Well, we covered this article yesterday, and I think I'll start where we were yesterday, because there's four or five clips that we didn't get to. But let's start with the MTG questioning of Robert Redfield, number six, the former head of the CDC. And then we'll get into all the other clips. But here's the article that has the quotes and things in it. If you want to share it. Former CDC director Redfield to Congress. COVID-19 created in a lab. U.S. government funded gain of function research. And Fauci basically covered it up. We're going to play all those clips here now. Lying to Congress, putting out false reports. You couldn't get more criminal. But this is what courts and law enforcement supposed to be for. When you got mad scientists that are trying to recreate 12 monkeys for real, you know, if you like your kids living, see, because they're the one with a gun to our head, a biological gun. If you like living, well, then we better get up off our asses and stop letting Big Pharma run our lives and try to end our lives. And I'm not saying go attack Fauci's house. That's the last thing we want. Turns him into a victim. I want him destroyed politically. I want him indicted. I want his ass imprisoned. I want him to turn state's evidence against his bosses, Bill Gates, and the rest of them. But we know what'll happen. They're getting ready to set Fauci up because he is the bag man. He's been doing this stuff for 45 years. He's a eugenicist, part of Bill Gates' depopulation board. They're going to put it all on Fauci, and I think Fauci's going to have a heart attack and be found dead or die in a car wreck or maybe a kayaking accident, something like that. So they know it's all coming out, and I think Fauci will never see a jail cell. I think they're going to kill Fauci. What do you think? Here's Redfield. All right, let's just hit pause. Let's just hit pause because I don't have any audio. Let's just recheck the clip. Whenever you guys tell me it's ready, I'll go to the clip, okay? Anybody want to tell me it's ready? Oh, great. Go ahead and roll it.
Dr. Redfield, did you agree, in your opinion, with Dr. Anderson's assessment at the time that this virus did look engineered?
I was concerned because of the presence of the furin cleavage site that we've talked about. And I think it's important to understand what that cleavage site does. That cleavage site totally changes the orientation of the binding domain of COVID. So it now, which could not see the ACE2 receptor, which is the human receptor, it totally changes the orientation now, so it has high affinity for a human receptor. So that furin cleavage site bothered me. It didn't seem that it belonged there. And then when you look at the sequences that it used, and it's beyond the committee, but I know many of you have looked into it, the sequences that they used in those 12 nucleotides for arginine were the arginine sequences, nucleotide triplet, that coded for the human arginine. So why did this virus have the arginine sequences for human there, not bat? It was very disconcerting to me. It looked like this virus was engineered.
Was this, what you're observing and speaking of, is this something that would be in line with gain of function research and the capabilities it would provide to the virus?
Yeah, I mean, basically this lab published in 2014 that they accomplished in this, allowing the coronaviruses that they were working with in the lab to bind to the H2 receptor in humanized mice. And the only way they did that was by reorienting the binding domain.
And it was clear to them at this time that that was likely the issue in their private conversations. Yet by February 4th, a paper on the origins of COVID is drafted by four participants of the February 1 conference call. One of those participants, Dr. Anderson, completely reverses himself in an email to the president of EcoHealth, Peter Daszak, and says the main crackpot theories going around at the moment relate to this virus being somehow engineered, and that is demonstrably false. My question to you, Mr. Redfield, did you know of any evidence that they had found within 3 days from February 1st to February 4th to be able to confirm that it was not created in a lab?
As I mentioned earlier, unfortunately, I was excluded from those conversations. Which I found retroactively very disappointed, since I was obviously a virologist and very engaged. And I actually had asked Jeremy Farrar, Tony Fauci, and Tedros to have these conversations. And then to be excluded, I found unusual. I do think it illustrates one point that's worth really focusing on. When you have a group of people that decide there can only be one point of view, that's problematic. And I'll keep going saying it's antithetical to science. And unfortunately, that's what they did.
I can tell you, Dr. Redfield, that is the case. It's very problematic because how people suffered in this country from those, what I would call tyrannical decisions, using their positions of power and shutting down the country in the way they did. I think people definitely do feel that way. Thank you. I yield back.
All right, we're going to come back with the clips we haven't gotten to that are even more powerful, where he specifically talks about Fauci lying about gain of function and all the rest of it. I mean, Redfield knows they're going down, and Redfield was excluded from all of this, the head of the CDC, because the UN and Fauci and Bill Gates, they were running all this, and they created the damn virus, and they released it. They killed a lot of friends of mine, and they're killing a lot of people right now with a shot. We just sit here and take this? No, we're not. You evil people are not invincible, and you are going to be brought to justice, so you can't do this ever again. And all you leftists that have defended this, you have aided and abetted mass murder. I hope you're really proud of your sick sycophants. Welcome back as we try to stop World War III and more lockdowns and bio attacks. They're getting geared up and ready for it. We have new lockdowns. You know, when I say these things, these aren't just words. This is really happening. They cooked up the virus, they released it, they killed a bunch of people, they blocked therapeutics, they told folks that could have been given steroids and antibiotics because the virus gets carried by bacteria, and things like vitamin D and hydroxychloroquine. They told them, just go home. And then once you got too sick, they put you on a respirator and killed you. It was all a plan worldwide run by the same people, and now they're going to do it again and again and again. It's their takeover plan. One of their big plans. We just going to sit here and wait for that to happen or just cower? And, well, I don't want to get attacked politically, or I don't want to be criticized. We've been vindicated. We're turning the tide. So now all the people have been on the fence who know the truth, why don't you come join us so we can fix this quicker before World War III? Can we do that? Because I'm not talking to the main audience of amazing people. I'm talking to all the people that tune in here from foreign governments and agencies and corporations to see what all the hubbub is about. The hubbub is about us just saying, this is insane. Can we stop this, please? And you notice everything we've talked about, we've shown you the proof here, contrary to what they say. That's why we're under attack, because the crazy people that run things want to stay in power. And they're using crisis after crisis to do so. Now, there's a bunch of these clips. I said four more. There's like five or six of them. Actually, six of them left. Let's play clip seven, and then let's just play clip four back to back, and then play clip two. So seven, four, and two, the head of the CDC turning state's evidence in front of the world, because he knows he ain't going to the Justice Department, but he's doing it in front of Congress. Can't get more smoking gun than this. Where is it in the news? Well, it's here and there, but this is big. Here it is.
So one other path of questioning for you, Dr. Redfield. Proponents of this research claim it may result in vaccines or maybe even stop a pandemic. Dr. Redfield, has gain-of-function created any life-saving vaccines or therapeutics to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Has gain-of-function stopped a pandemic in your opinion?
And it's illegal.
No, on the contrary, I think it probably caused the greatest pandemic our world has seen.
Hit pause. I'm sorry. I should have led the whole show with this. In fact, Scott, the producer at the start of the show, said, Alex, I know you got a lot on your plate. We think the Redfield thing's the biggest. I said, I agree. He said, will you just play clip 7? And we're an hour and 22 minutes into it. In fact, on the front of the whole show today, when we posted demand.video, put a note to play this clip up front on the show, because I should have led with this. Play the clip again and listen. He's saying gain of function is what caused this. U.S. government made it. They took it to China so they could have plausible deniability. They did it on purpose, folks. They had the vaccine already ready. You understand how big this is? This is just so huge. Go ahead.
So one other path of questioning for you, Dr. Redfield. Proponents of this research claim it may result in vaccines or maybe even stop a pandemic. Dr. Redfield, has gain-of-function created any life-saving vaccines or therapeutics to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge.
Has gain-of-function stopped a pandemic, in your opinion?
No, on the contrary, I think it probably caused the greatest pandemic our world has seen.
Do you find any tangible benefits to gain-of-function research at this time?
I personally don't, but I do want to stress, I think the men and women that support it are people of good faith because they truly believe it's going to lead to a potential benefit. I disagree with that assessment.
Thank you. Chairman, for 2 years, myself and the other Republicans on this subcommittee connected the dots. We exposed the evidence supporting our strong belief that COVID was developed and leaked from the Wuhan lab. And during those same 2 years, the same Democrats that sit on this committee, they only hindered, they obstructed, they refused to hold hearings and get to the truth. Now we see mounting evidence supporting the COVID-19 originated from the lab in Wuhan, China, run by the Communist Chinese Party. And this hearing is about getting to the truth. I thank the chairman for making this the very first hearing, because the American people, who have seen just as many fellow Americans die from COVID, as nearly as many die from COVID that died in every war since the American Revolution combined, deserve to know the truth. Dr. Redfield, you pointed to the lab leak theory even before we did. In mid-January of 2020, you expressed concerns to Dr. Fauci, to Jeremy Farrar of UK's Wellcome Trust, and to Dr. Tedros of World Health Organization that, quote, we had to take the lab leak hypothesis with extreme seriousness. And you urged Dr. Fauci to investigate both the lab and the natural hypotheses. Shortly thereafter, on February 1st, Farrar convened a meeting of a group of 11 top scientists across 5 time zones and asked Dr. Fauci to join, and he wrote, quote, my preference is to keep this group really tight. Obviously, ask everyone to treat in total confidence, unquote. Dr. Redfield, you were excluded from this call, but up until then, you had been on every single, you were included in every other conversation. What changed? Why do you think that you were excluded from these conversations?
Thank you very much. I think just to emphasize, in early to mid-January, I did have multiple calls with Fauci, Farrar, and Tedros about how important I thought it was that science get engaged in aggressively pursuing both hypotheses. I also expressed, as a clinical virologist, that I felt it was not scientifically plausible that this virus went from a bat to humans and became one of the most infectious viruses that we have for humans. All viruses are not the same. So when you look at coronaviruses for SARS and MERS, for example, when they entered the human species, which they did via an intermediate, they never learned how to go human to human. Even to this day, they don't know how to go human to human. So you can't equate Ebola with a coronavirus.
Now, why do you think you were excluded from those calls?
Because I was told to me that they wanted a single narrative and that I obviously had a different point of view.
Okay. And emails following the conference call, four of the 11 scientists told Fauci that
pause.
They all
back it up 10 seconds. So you're not allowed to go on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere and say this or, until now. But it wasn't just you. It was the head of the CDC wasn't allowed to go. We've never had a virus does this. We looked at it. It's man-made. Oh, sorry. The head of the CDC can't be in the meeting. The UN's going to run this with Fauci and Bill Gates. See how it works, folks? It goes all the way to the top. And all we need is people like Redfill to spill their guts, and down goes the New World Order. And by the way, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put the New World Order back together again. Continue.
Actually pursuing both hypotheses. I also expressed as a clinical virologist that I felt it was not scientifically plausible that this virus went from a bat to humans and became one of the most infectious viruses that we have for humans. All viruses are not the same. So when you look at coronaviruses for SARS and MERS, for example, when they entered the human species, which they did via an intermediate, they never learned how to go human to human. Even to this day, they don't know how to go human to human. So you can't equate Ebola with a coronavirus.
Now, why do you think you were excluded from those calls?
Because I was told to me that they wanted a single narrative and that I obviously had a different point of view.
Okay. And emails following the conference call for the 11th.
All right, let's stop there. We'll come back with the rest of this clip and a couple others. But you understand, it was 100% in January of 2020, 3 years ago, that it was man-made. That they've known day one. They made the damn thing. They already had a vaccine ready. They need to be in prison right now. We need to stop these people before they strike.
And by the way, thank you for your support. The CBD product from InfoWarsStore.com is truly outstanding. I've got one of my family members on it, and it's working wonders. It is highly potent. It's very effective. We've tested it in the laboratory, and it's an extraordinary value. InfoWarsStore.com. Check out the CBD oil. I think that's the 1,000 milligram bottle that I'm referring to there, but there are some other formats that are available as well.
Old Fauci and Bill Gates sure as hell broke the law, didn't they? Breaking the law. Breaking the law. So, this is really the biggest story in the country. It's not J6. It's not the open borders. It's not even Russia and World War III potential, because it's hard to stop this World War III operation. We're trying. But on the new lockdowns and the millions they killed and the tens of millions that have been maimed and their whole global government system for the UN World Treaty, they created the virus, they released the virus, they made it novel so it would scare all the scientists that knew it was man-made, then they told the public it wasn't man-made, then they rolled out a poison shot. Their whole program hinges on this. And now the head, the former head of the CDC, an esteemed, famous virologist, comes out and says, this is man-made. COVID-19 was gain of function. And here's the key. It's not that deadly, but it spreads really quick. But they wanted to give you a shot to respond to the spike protein that is way more toxic. But they've got airborne Ebola that's man-to-man, human-to-human, person-to-person, father-to-child, child to mother, grandpa to grandma, neighbor to neighbor, door to door. And they've got man-made weaponized Marburg that kills 95% of those that are infected. They got man-made mousepox that killed 90%+. They got all the real stuff lined up for you. And are we going to stop them? Or no, we'll just follow orders and let them kill everybody soon. Because COVID was just a test if they can clamp down so we don't panic too bad where everybody's dying. That was just a drill. That's like when the serial killer kidnaps somebody and puts handcuffs on them and duct tape on their mouth while he drives them from the playground where he grabbed them to his shack in the middle of nowhere where he tortures you to death in a dungeon in a basement. But metaphorically, they knocked us over the head. They got us in the van. But we woke up, got out of the plastic tape around our legs, used our elbows to open the back of the van and stumbled out into the countryside at night, breaking an arm, hurting our ankle, skinning our face up. We're on handcuffs in the dark, but we ran into the woods and the serial killer can't find us. That's where we are. We're in the woods bleeding with a broken arm in handcuffs. And the handcuffs are the fact we won't admit the truth, we're under attack. Got to take the handcuffs off. Got to get back to civilization. Got to tell folks what happened. They didn't get us to the farmhouse to strap us down on the gurney and torture us for 2 weeks to death. That's the next phase. Or you can let the guy drive back in the van. He'll have a spotlight. Hey, I'm really your friend. Come out of that creek bottom you're in. Come up here in the cornfield. Get back in the van. I promise I'll be nice to you. You'll never find anybody to protect you. I'm going to catch you. You're not going to catch you. All you got to do is just keep going to the woods. Oh, cover a couple of hills. You'll find another farmhouse. Knock on the door and say, I was just kidnapped. Call the police. All we got to do is not have Stockholm Syndrome and not listen to them and limp up the hill and down the road and go to the farmhouse. But make sure it's not his farmhouse when we get there. Maybe go to the next farmhouse. But the point is, that'd be funny. You get away and all of a sudden, you know, it's his farmhouse. And that's kind of what you're calling the Justice Department's like. You get out of the back of the van and you're out in the countryside. You go to the nearest house. It's actually, you know, the kidnapper's house. And that's why Redfield had to go to Congress, even though it's corrupt and bad. It's a public forum. Or you can say, you out of the woods, the creek bottom, up to the road. He's up there on the road with the spotlight. You promise you'll be nice if I come back out? Yes. Oh, good. I see you there. All of a sudden, you notice the spotlight's on you, and he's got a deer rifle. Oh, you can trust me. He gets in his van and drives away as you bleed to death. No, keep your mouth shut. Get to the farmhouse. Get to the media. Get on the air. Go speak at city council. The farmhouse and calling 911 is not calling the FBI. They're helping run the whole thing at the top. It's getting to the city council, the county commission, the medical board, anywhere that's televised and talking about this. It's calling into C-SPAN. It's calling to talk radio. It's calling Congress. It's spreading the word. It's standing up with sandwich boards on the side of the street. It's ringing the alarm bell. Don't get in the van with these guys because they're bringing new lockdowns back. They're bringing more poison shots back. To the Washington Post today, they're getting ready for more lockdowns. Don't let them do it. You've already been hit over the head. You've already been handcuffed to the back of a van. You were able to get out of it. You were able to get out of the back of the van. All you got's a broken arm right now. You just listen, if you get back in that damn van, he is going to torture you to death. Don't get in the van. And everybody's like, well, of course I wouldn't back in the van. No, a lot of people would. As for me, I never got in the van. I've been hit over the head plenty of times, if you use the analogy, but I've never let them get me in the van. Except maybe in Scanner Darkly. That's fiction. That's a scene I basically wrote. Because the van is the metaphor. Can you guys pull up Alex Jones, Scanner Darkly? Van scene. Keanu Reeves. But that's what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen. But the average person who's a leftist is under Stockholm Syndrome, and they really believe we're the bad guys. They believe freedom and justice and the Second Amendment and in prosperity and capitalism and Christianity, they believe that's the van. They think open borders and suicide and death and disease and poisoned injections and World War III is fun. They think that's happiness. Because they are victims of the system so weak that their minds play a trick on them that getting in the van is a good thing. So don't go into the van willingly. And if you see somebody getting grabbed and put in a van, don't just shake it off like Keanu Reeves does and get in the car with an owner rider. But see, that's what the crime, with everything, it's a metaphor for it. We're just all kind of used to crime and corruption and censorship and all these bad, and the power going on and off all the time and just all this weirdness, because they're normalizing the whole thing. Don't get in the van. And children are designed for archetypal fairy tales that are based on real things. Like Little Red Riding Hood is, hey, you're walking to grandma's house a few miles from the woods. If you see a man, he may act really nice, but if you don't know the man, he's really a big bad wolf and could rape you and kill you. Because that went on back then. So if you see a man in the woods, you don't know, keep your mouth shut and get away. But what's the left teach us? Oh, send your kids to school. Let those wolves in sheep's clothing teach them whatever, and then have the teachers not tell you what they're teaching your children. It's all predatory. It's all an exercise, the TSA groping you, all of it, to train you to be a slave, to train you that you don't have boundaries, to train you that you don't have rights, to train you they own your body. Do I blame the average TSA agent? No, but the whole thing is a conditioning mechanism. It's all part of the process, from liberty to tyranny, from freedom to slavery. More of the head of the CDC spilling his guts in spectacular fashion as the rats leave the sinking Titanic. Now, I want to get back to Redfield here because, I mean, seriously, you cannot make a big enough deal about this. And it's getting national news and it's here and there, but they're reporting on it. But the way they report it is, well, Redfield says it could have been gain of function and he thought it might be a lab, but they blocked him. No, Fauci lied to Congress. Fauci knew. They 100% knew it was man-made. They tried to get Redfield to go along with it. Here's a quote we haven't even gotten to. In September 2019, three things happened in the lab. One is they deleted the sequence, heavily irregular. They deleted the sequence they made because it matched the virus. Researchers don't like to do that, Redfield said. The second thing is they changed the command and control from civilian to military in September, right before they release it to blame Trump and shut everything down. This is Redfield testifying. We haven't even gotten to this clip yet. The third, which is telling, is they let a contractor redo the ventilation system in the laboratory. Clearly, there was strong evidence that a significant event happened in the laboratory in September. Oh, it was an accident. Let's finish up with clip four, and then let's go to clip two. Let's just play them back to back.
In emails following the conference call, four of the 11 scientists told Fauci that they all found the genetic sequence inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory, basically what you're saying. However, just 3 days later, these four scientists had drafted a paper arguing the exact opposite, and that's now the infamous proximal origin of SARS-CoV-2. Our investigations show this paper was prompted by Dr. Fauci, among others, with a goal to disprove the lab leak theory. What is the likelihood that these scientists came across additional information just 3 days after making these statements to conclude with such certainty that COVID-19 came from nature instead of the lab leak that they thought it was 3 days earlier?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate. Again, I've said this before, that this whole approach that was taken on February 1st and subsequently in the month of February, if you really want to be truthful, it's antithetical to science.
Thank you.
Science has debate, and they squashed any debate.
Thank you. Given what we know now and looking at all the conversations in February of 2020 and before the release of the paper, do you think that Dr. Fauci used this paper to hide the gain-of-function research created, the gain-of-function research created this virus?
I can't talk about Fauci's motivation.
Do you think that the paper does hide the truth?
I think it's an inaccurate paper that basically was part of a narrative that they were creating. Remember, this pandemic did not start in January at the seafood market. We now know there was infections all the way back into September. This was a narrative that was decided that they were going to say this came from the wet market, and they were going to do everything they could to support it to negate any discussion about the possibility that this came from a laboratory.
I got 20 seconds left. Dr. Fauci was affirmatively told in an email that NIAID had a monetary relationship with the Wuhan Institute through EcoHealth Alliance. He was told this in January 27th of 2020. Do you think that Dr. Fauci intentionally lied under oath to Senator Paul when he vehemently denied NIH's funding of gain-of-function research?
I think there's no doubt that NIH was funding gain-of-function research.
Is it likely that American tax dollars funded the gain-of-function research that created this virus?
I think it did, not only from NIH, but from the State Department, USAID, and from DOD.
I'm out of time. Thank you very much.
Now recognize mistake
that I will say, if you go back and look, it's declassified now, and I'm sure you all have your classified briefings, but the declassified information now, in September of 2019, three things happened in that lab. One is they deleted the sequences. Mm-hmm. It was highly irregular. So researchers don't usually like to do that. Second thing they did was they changed the command and control of the lab from the civilian control to the military control. Highly unusual, and I've been involved in dual-use labs when I was in the military. And the third things they did, which I think is really telling, is they let a contractor redo the ventilation system in that laboratory. So I think clearly there was strong evidence that there was a significant event that happened in that laboratory in September. It's now been declassified. You can read it. I'm sure there's more classified information around.
Dr. Redfield, I want to stick with you. You have said before that you were locked out of conversations about the lab leak by Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins. Do you think they kept you out of the conversations because you believe COVID-19 may have come from a lab?
Yeah, I think I made it very clear in January to all of them why we had to aggressively pursue this, and I let them know as a virologist that I didn't see that this was anything like SARS or MERS because they never learned how to transmit human to human, that I felt this virus was too infectious for humans. There was a lot of evidence that lab actually published in 2014 that they put the ACE2 receptor into humanized mice so it could infect human tissue. I think, you know, we had to really seriously go after the fact it came from the lab. And they knew that that was how I was thinking, although I thought we had to go after both hypotheses. And I was told later, I didn't know I was excluded. I didn't know there was a February 1st conference call until the Freedom of Information came out with the emails, and I was quite upset as the CDC director that I was excluded from those discussions.
Why would they do this?
Because I had a different point of view, and I was told they made a decision that they would keep this confidential until they came up with a single narrative, which I will argue is antithetical to science. Science never selects a single narrative. We foster, as my colleague here just said, we foster debate. Mm-hmm. And we're confident that with debate, science will eventually get to the truth. This was an a priori decision that there's one point of view that we're going to put out there, and anyone who doesn't agree with it is going to be sidelined. And as I say, I was only the CDC director,
right,
and I was sidelined.
And then the American people are told any questioning's wrong, and you'll be censored or worse, deplatformed. If you were medical doctors all over the country that owned clinics that did IVs, and you advertise your patients, hey, vitamin C and then vitamin D pills are shown to reduce viruses more than 97%, the FBI would raid you with shields and guns to act like you did something wrong. They're always busy raiding Amish as well, selling milk that hurts no one. Because selling milk and vitamin D is evil. Shipping kids across the border to be raped to death, that's loving and liberal. And so is creating bioweapons. It's all liberal. It's all cool. It's all trendy. It's all, we're in charge. Psychotic demons. Absolutely out of control. Seven ways to Sunday. Let's play clip seven again because, I mean, this is the CD. You heard him say, you know, and I'm being excluded. I'm only the CDC director. That's a cabinet, congressional appointed, super powerful position. It was the UN folks and Peter Daszak and Bill Gates and their little bastard. That's too not. There are a lot of great bastards out there. Like, why is a bastard an insult? Some of my best friends are bastards. Calling Fauci a cockroach is like a nice thing to say. He is a freaking psychotic demon, and so is Bill Gates. And we're not going to sit here and take them murdering us and releasing something new on our asses that they're all pre-positioning right now. They're running around like parrots on methamphetamine telling you a new virus and new lockdowns are coming. Get ready for it. I mean, seriously, folks, are we going to sit here and take this? And I say this to all the corporate people and all the government people and everybody else and media people. Stop pretending you're not on the receiving end of this. Stop pretending you're not in the crosshairs. Stop pretending just because you pretend and go along with the system that you're protected. You are not. You are targeted. You are in trouble. Get it through your head. Do you need to have a bioweapon that kills 20% of us hitters before you wake up? Do you need to have a nuclear war first? No. I love my children. Please stop it. For heaven's sakes, wake the hell up. The Nazis that tried to kill Hitler repeatedly were pro-Nazi and crazy people, but they were smart enough to know that Hitler had already lost, and when Germany still had strength, they should make a deal with Stalin and then end the war. They didn't, because they tried to kill Hitler and they couldn't. We don't have one person we can kill and fix this. Hitler actually ran stuff in Germany. I'm not calling for violence. We have to kill the idea. We have to nonviolently expose the living hell out of it and have noncompliance, civil disobedience.
One thing I should say, and I know this is called the World Government Summit, but I think we should be maybe a little bit concerned about actually becoming too much of a single world government. If I may say that we want to avoid creating a civilizational risk by having, frankly, this may sound a little odd, too much cooperation between governments. If you look at, say, at history and the rise and fall of civilizations, really all throughout history, civilizations have risen and fallen, but it hasn't meant the doom of humanity as a whole, because there've been all these separate civilizations that were separated by great distances. While Rome was falling, Islam was rising, and that actually ended up being a source of preservation of knowledge and many scientific advancements. And so, so I think we want to be a little bit cautious about being too much of a world, of a single civilization, because if we are too much of a single civilization, then if the whole thing may collapse. I'm obviously not suggesting war or anything like that, but I think we want to be a little bit wary of actually cooperating too much. It sounds a little odd, but we want to have some amount of civilizational diversity, such that if something does go wrong with some part of civilization, that the whole thing doesn't collapse, humanity keeps moving forward.
Well, we live to see it. Elon Musk at the World Economic Forum decrying their world government at their world government summit. That's what this book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, is all about. And the final signed copies are available for a limited time, just a few weeks, at InfoWarsStore.com. So get your copy of the book and help keep us on air at InfoWarsStore.com. We've come a long way, but the war has not yet been won.